are speaking, thinking about James and what he had to write about wisdom. And the sermon title, More Wisdom, is, well, it's not just a cop-out so I can talk about whatever I want, as long as it has something to do with wisdom. Although it comes uncomfortably close to that this week. Some weeks you know exactly what you're going to talk about. Those are a particular kind of weeks that I enjoy quite a lot. And then there's some weeks when I know this is the direction I'm going to go, and then it just needs to take some time to come together. And I knew I was going to be talking about wisdom and how we get more wisdom. And as I was pondering this over the time that I was getting ready, I realized that I was going to be talking about, in a sense, two different kinds of wisdom. And depending on what translation you use, some translations put little headings in. They're not part of the canonical text. They're just there to help you. And sometimes they're extremely helpful. Sometimes they're actively problematic. And the New International Version actually manages to do both. But this one is actually very, very helpful. And it starts this section in James with two kinds of wisdom. Now, the two kinds of wisdom, it's a bit of a problem because they aren't actually both wisdom, as we find as we read along. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So that's one good thing. And then it says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, which they put in quotation marks, such wisdom does not come down from heaven. And that's just the problem. Wisdom is a bit of a flexible, maybe even a slippery kind of term. It's a value. I've never heard anybody, other than when they're just being foolish and joking around, I've never heard anybody who says, I wish I was less wise. Everybody wants to be more wise. Wisdom is something that we all want. But when you ask people what that is, then it gets a little bit trickier. And how do you know you've increased in wisdom? If you want to become richer, that's easy to tell. You are richer when you have more money than you did before. It's a nice, easy measurement. You always know when you're richer than you were before. But wisdom is a little bit trickier. And it's trickier because we sometimes mistake things for wisdom that aren't really wisdom at all. James makes it clear, such wisdom in those quotation marks, those scare quotes as they're sometimes called, such wisdom doesn't come down from heaven. He's strongly suggesting that this isn't wisdom at all, even though people call it wisdom. And what we often confuse with wisdom is human cleverness. And there's nothing wrong with human cleverness. I'm a big fan of human cleverness. Human cleverness is what came up with cars. I like cars. If I had to ride a horse here every Sunday, I wouldn't be here. It's hard to tell who dislikes the other more, me, horses, me, but we just never really clicked. It's just never been a good relationship for me. Human cleverness is a really good thing, but it's not necessarily wisdom. If we want to look at what the Bible says about wisdom, and if we sort of put all of those various pieces together, including the wisdom literature, which is a whole section in the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament, and we look at what we're directed towards, wisdom might possibly be summed up as living well, living successfully, living a good life, which opens up even more questions. What's a good life? What is success? For some people, success is, going back to what we said before, is becoming richer. And that is a measure of success. But is it a successful life? The Bible would say no. The Bible doesn't say you should be poor. It also doesn't say you should be rich. It doesn't say anything one way or the other about that particularly. But when you look at what is summed up by a successful life from a scriptural standpoint, we see some of the things that James talks about a little further on. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace and then raise a harvest of righteousness. That's a successful life. If we're looking for some shorthand, if you will, on what makes a successful life as opposed to a less successful life, perhaps we can use this one. A successful life is one where we have grown in our likeness to Jesus. We have become more like Jesus over the period of our life than when we started. If you want something a little bit broader, we have become more and more the person we were created to be. That's a good life. And that's what wisdom will lead us to, not fights and quarrels. James says those desires battle within you. You want something and you don't get it. You kill people for it. We don't actually kill people, but we come about as close as we can. We covet things we can't have. We quarrel and fight. James says it's because it's a fundamental lack of wisdom. You don't have because you don't ask. And sometimes you don't get what you ask for because you're asking for the wrong motives. One of the ongoing challenges of living a life that's pleasing to God, living a life that reflects the relationship that we have with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is that we don't ask for what we need. This isn't just in our relationship between us and God. This is something that just happens all over the place. And if you've ever had an ongoing interaction with small people, your own children or somebody else's children, chances are pretty good that you've had that frustrating conversation when it turns out that your kids need something, and they need it now, that they could have asked for an hour or a day or a week before, and you would have gladly provided it, but for some strange reason, they didn't think you'd give it to them. This is doubly maddening when it's something you've given them in the past. And you ask the child, well, why didn't you just ask? I don't know. Every so often, when I'm in the throes of this incredible aggravation that one of my children has done this, I get this little dialogue or this little interaction with the Holy Spirit who says, isn't that frustrating? That is so frustrating. What God feels like when you don't ask Him either. This is just something we do. We don't get things because we don't ask for them, because we don't think we deserve them, we don't think we'll get them, whatever it might be. James says that yes, you can ask for things you're not going to get because they come from bad motives, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't ask at all. Your kids don't come and ask you if they can set fire to the fence. They ask you if you can have this thing they need for a school project. We hardly ever ask God for the adult equivalent of permission to set fire to the fence. But how often do we ask that we'll be helped in our peacemaking efforts? Whether it's peacemaking between two other people or between us and someone else. How often do we ask for the ability to be more merciful, to be more submissive, to be more filled with the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit? Well, if we ask for those, we'll get them. And when we get those things and we act on those things, we have a more successful life by every measure that matters. When we ask for those things and receive them and exercise them, we become more like Jesus. We become more the people we were created to be. The kind of people that everybody wants to be around. Not because we're rich, not because we have fancy toys, but because people feel better when they're with us, just like people felt better when they were with Jesus. Because we treat people well, because that is true wisdom, is making an impact on the lives of people. That's a life well worth living. And that's a life well led. It's a truism that we run into every once in a while. We don't very often talk about it in a church service. It usually pops up at things like funerals. Because when we watch the hearse drive away, there's never a U-Haul behind it. People never take things with them. The things of life, our possessions, don't go on with us, and our possessions really don't leave that much of an impact when we're gone. People leave you money and you spend it. They leave you things and you use them perhaps, or you do whatever it is you do with them. But when you think of those people who you valued who have gone on, what do you think of? You think of their qualities as a person. You think of when they made that difference in your life by listening to you, by providing the advice, that word you needed for that time. And that's when they were being wise. That's when they were taking the wisdom that is open to all of us through the Holy Spirit and providing it to you. We can have more wisdom. Wisdom is not a finite thing you're given, like height. I guess height isn't really finite, or for most of us, it's given to us for a while, and then it starts being taken away again a little bit. I'm a little bit shorter than I was when I was in my early 20s. Hardly seems fair. I've always been smaller than my brothers, and now I'm smaller yet. But wisdom isn't just something you have or you don't. And it's not a particular quantity that you get and that's it. Don't squander it, that's all you get. Wisdom is something we can grow in, but only if we attach ourselves to the source of wisdom. Holy Scripture, godly people, and a connection with God Himself. We can get more wisdom. We can become more wise. I'm not sure we can get more clever. I'm not sure we can get more intelligent. That might be a finite quantity. It appears that whatever we have when it's developed in our early years, we don't seem to get smarter as we get older. But we often get wiser. And we can get wiser. We don't have to. It's not guaranteed. Not guaranteed, like for some of us, gray hair was a guarantee. That one was fulfilled in my life before I turned 20. There's all kinds of things that we know for sure are going to happen. A growth in wisdom will only happen if we're open to it and we ask for it. A growth in wisdom will only happen in us when we become those kind of people who are open to correction, correction from God and the people around us. When we are submissive. That's not a word we like very much. We don't like the notion of being submissive. You'll notice that James doesn't say you'll be a doormat. Being submissive just means that when you need to submit, you do. We all do this. When was the last time a policeman pulled you over and you said, "No, you can't. I'm not pulling over at all." You're submissive because you're not crazy. When we're submissive to the teaching of God, when we're submissive to those nudges of the Holy Spirit, that's when we grow in wisdom. When we have humility, which is also not being a doormat. Being humble means knowing exactly who you are and what you have to offer, but always being open to correction and new things. When we do that, we grow in wisdom. We get more wisdom. And we can do this at any time of our life. It's not something you can only do when you're young, or for that matter, only do when you're old. I'm much wiser now than I was when I was younger. I don't say that as particularly a point of pride. I don't say, look at me, look how wise I am. I say just from an objective measure, if you will. When I was younger, I did many unwise things that I will not do now, because I've grown in wisdom. And I've grown in wisdom by listening, by being open to people and to God. That's how we grow. That's how we get more wisdom. That's what James is talking about when he says you don't have because you don't ask. Ask for wisdom and you'll get it. Ask for God to make use of you exactly where you are, and He will. Because He loves you and wants you to be the person He created you to be. If you ask for something through bad motives, that'll become clear. But if you don't ask for anything because you're afraid you might have bad motives, what have you done? You've limited what you can have. Because James doesn't say you don't have because you don't deserve it. He says when it comes to wisdom, when it comes to being the kind of person you want, you don't have it because you haven't asked for it. So let's ask. Let's ask for more wisdom. Let's ask for the opportunity to become ever more the people we were created to be, that we might bring glory to God in everything we do and everything we say. Amen.